Happy Sabbath once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for being a part of the great work that God is doing, coming to you live from College Park, Georgia. And it is a privilege to be able to share the good news. You know, ladies and gentlemen, when you stop and think about it, the Bible is so easy. Sometimes I wonder how folks could allow anyone to deceive them so that they go astray. They miss out. I want to begin by discussing the mercies of God, because that's what it is. God's mercy is great. That's the title of the message today. And I want to begin by discussing a little about the mercies of God. I want to start in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. Let me see, queue up my time. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus is speaking. And here it is, Jesus is saying, ladies and gentlemen, yes, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. All of you that are laboring, in other words, you're working, you're not just sitting down, and you're burdened down, you're heavy laden, come unto me. All of you that's in that position, come to me. It is that simple. Now, a lot of people claim they come to God, but they don't really. Oh, yes, they call upon his name. They go into the water. They get baptized. And they come out and they want to go back to their old way. They're not coming to him. Something as simple as the Sabbath. 6 days shall work be done. The seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it you shall not do any work. And people are acting like, well, I can do whatever I want. And somehow they expect the best from God, just the same. They're arrogant. They expect to get the best from him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's kindergarten stuff. People should be able to count that much. But you have a lot of grown-ups who apparently don't know how to do so. So Jesus is making it plain to you and I today in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He went on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Are you learning of Jesus? There is always an opportunity to acquire more information, more knowledge. Learn of me. Make it a habit of constantly learning of God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He's not going to put you down. Oh yes, he'll allow you to collapse if you choose to do so. But he's not going to purposefully try to put you down. So take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He's guaranteeing that if you come to him, you're going to find rest. I said, if you come to Jesus, you're going to find rest. This world is in a lot of trouble. That the world doesn't want to come to Jesus. I said this world is in a lot of trouble. The pride and arrogance of this generation, the young people, those below 45, the arrogance, they're going to get a good butt whipping. Punishment is coming, they just don't know it. There's nobody's telling them that. People think they're all that. What I am saying to you, Don't fall into that category, folks. My word to encourage you today is to come to the Lord while he is available. Seek him, because there's going to come a time when he's not available. Oh, for real? Yes, there's going to come a time when he's not available. You'll see from the scriptures. So he's encouraging us, ladies and gentlemen, to abandon our viewpoint and our way of thinking and doing things. If you're one of those persons who is struggling in the same position year after year, you don't see a breakthrough, you are one of the ones who need to come to him. In the book of Philippians, we get additional information, because a lot of folks take it for granted. You know, God could use the rocks if he so chooses. He could use the rocks, but he chose us instead. In Philippians, the second chapter, in verse 25, it says, Philippians 1:25. Wait a minute, why my scripture look a little different? Let me see. It's verse 5:05, typo. He says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So in other words, we should be looking out for each other. That is understood. That's a Christian way. But look at this verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I am saying to you, God is merciful. And you should let this mind, the similar mind that he has, be in you. In other words, develop the mind of Christ. That's what he's trying to convey to us. Let this mind be you in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are you trying to change, allowing yourself, God, to change you till you become more like Jesus? Because a lot of the things that he has called the church to do, you can't do it with our ordinary mind. You need the mind of Christ. And that is why I'm trying to explain about the mercies of God. You know, folks always want mercy. But do you extend mercy? Do you extend mercy like you should? I want to go back and look at a foundational scripture to help cement where we're going with this. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Because sometimes folks get the wrong impression and they think they just do whatever. And it doesn't really work like that. Verse 32 says, Matthew chapter 6, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? Gentiles there mean people who don't know God. The world seek after things. You see a lot of folks, well, I got to have this type of car. Really? Who told you that? No, you don't have to. And so he's saying, these are the things that the Gentiles seek after, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Anything you need, he knows about it. It's not strange to him. He's been around a very long time. Verse 33. Therefore, he's telling you now, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, that seems to be a challenge for some. He's telling us to seek first the kingdom of God, and we're still going out there trying to do our own stuff and put ourselves above him. And I'm saying to you, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. For 40 years, the children of Israel walked around in the wilderness. It only take 40 days for the Israelite, the spies, to go into the land and come back. So why are they in the wilderness for 40 years? Why were they in the wilderness for 40 years? Disobedience. They wouldn't listen. So he just condemned them to their own devices. You might be in that kind of wilderness too, because you won't listen. And therefore, he will condemn you to your own devices. By the way, these things are not in my they're not in my notes, but these scriptures just keep jumping across my mind, so I'm going to just read them. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Listen to what it says. He says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. You got a lot of folks who are just too proud. They're too much into themselves. They think, oh, no, I do whatever I want. Oh, no, you won't. At the name of Jesus, at some point. No, you're going to do it now or you're going to do it later, but it's going to happen. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Okay? I want to remind us about that. In Genesis chapter 41, let's pick up something else here. Genesis chapter 41. I want to ask a rhetorical question. It's up to you. You answer it when you get an opportunity. But it's a question that everybody have to answer. In Genesis 41, you know, they had told Joseph. Joseph now is come to the attention of Pharaoh. And so in 41:14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself. Why did he shave himself? So here it is. Pharaoh said, I need him right away. And they come in a hurry and say, hey, the Pharaoh want to see you. The king want to see you. And he shaved himself and changed his clothes. And he came unto Pharaoh. Did you know that God is a king? See, a lot of people don't understand that, you know. They try their best to look their worst when they come to God. And they don't realize that they're setting in motion the treatment that they're going to get. You want to live on get along street where things just barely work? That's what you will get. But look at Joseph. Joseph, because, you know, he was an industrious fellow. They put him in prison. Next thing you know, he's in charge of the prison. He's the one telling everybody where to eat, what to eat, and what to wear, and where to go. He understand industry. And so here it is. The word came to Pharaoh about this man that he can give the meaning of dreams. And so they sent for him immediately. And he shaved his clothes. He didn't come and say, well, I've been needling everybody else, you know. I mean, you know, you get what you ask for. Because he's a prisoner. But he didn't behave like that. He showed some respect. He showed some reverence. He showed some humility. That's why the Bible documents this. And say he shaved himself. He's giving us a lesson that too many are too stupid to really catch. We have a generation that is arrogant. I see people going around with their pants dropping down, somehow thinking they're all that. They're fools. They just don't realize it. Yes, they are fools. They think God is going to put up with that nonsense. Listen to me. People behave like that. They're just a one stone away, a one throw away from an accident, a disaster. They just don't realize it. But Pharaoh, but Joseph shaved himself, cleaned himself up, and he came to the king and presented himself. A very important lesson for us. It is important, ladies and gentlemen, because God has called us to do a great work. And we need to make sure we put things in the right perspective. We need to have things in the right order. You're going to teach somebody something, man. You need to have it together. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 44. He said, I say unto you, love your enemies. Now, this is a challenge for average person, let alone, or I should say Christian, let alone the average person. Love your enemies. Why are they going to war between Russia and Ukraine? Do they really love their enemies? Welcome to the war that's taking place between Hamas and the Jews, Iran and America and Israel. The Bible is teaching us a different way, you know. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for those which despitefully use you or persecute you. You're going to pray for them? Yes. That they come to their senses? Yes. That they change? Yes. That they learn about God? Yes. That's our job. It's not a ordinary task. That's why you need the power of God to help you to do these things. There was a man in Jamaica many, many years ago. They used to rob him, steal things from him, and word got back to him. One of his helpers come and say, you know, they're stealing this and they're stealing that. And he said, you know, the more they rob me, is the wealthier I get. It turned out he was extremely wealthy. They were constantly robbing. He would say, go do so-and-so, and they say, all right, how much you need? How much for it? And he tell it, they bargain. And he say, all right, go take it yourself. And they take more than they should. He didn't get mad. God was still blessing him more and more. People don't realize it. That man had a certain degree of wisdom that people did not get. That's why I'm saying, I'm reading it here for us in the church to make sure we understand this. He says, love your enemies. Yes, it takes time to get this to grasp this because it doesn't mean you act foolish and go out there so people beat you up. Sometimes you have to use wisdom or get out the way. But you don't have the luxury of going out there with them. That gentleman that went to war, World War II this week, many of you have sent the video, the YouTube video, the one who decided he wasn't going to carry a rifle. He was a medic. He was constantly running back and forth to, bandage up the wounded and so on, deal with all those people on the fire. On one occasion, they said, the general said it was about over 100 people that him alone escaped. All the other medics back ran away and leave. He kept running back on the fire and he just kept praying, Lord, give me an opportunity to rescue one more, and he did it. The other folks, when they counted it, they say, well, this was 75. They asked him, how many you think? He said, it's about 50. He gave the lowest number. But they had over 75 people that were there who got rescued because of him. Because of that one man who kept doing what he promised he would do. And so the point was that he was demonstrating a type of love that the average person can't grasp. Take the power of God to do that. In the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, Romans chapter 5, God is speaking, teaching us some things. Paul really writing it down. And he says, let's see, chapter 5. And hope make it not ashamed. 5. Yes. Hope make it not ashamed. If you are relying on God, then he has given you hope. Hope make it not ashamed. For the love of God, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. This world does not understand the way of God. It takes the Spirit of God to share this kind of information so people won't go around constantly killing each other and stealing from each other and robbing each other. As I said in the study the other night, folks don't understand it. Years ago in the teachings, I was pointing out, I did the calculation, I don't know what it is now. I know it's higher. But I was explaining, it's the city of Atlanta was spending $22,500 a year on police officers. Per person. $22,500 per year. That's money that could be spent for other things. Because people won't behave themselves. They have they lack the discipline. They lack the understanding. They don't have the power to restrain themselves. So you have to have somebody else with more power than them. Usually the police with a gun. To stop them. $22,500 a year. Imagine what we could do with that money. When Jesus comes back, you wonder why things are going to be so cheap? Because there are more people going to be working to begin with. That's true. But the other reason is that you won't have the overhead, the cost and so on. To lock stuff up and so on. You won't have all that need. But I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, to do what I'm talking about now, to behave like God, to act like Him, I am saying to you that you need the Spirit of God. So when we celebrate in Pentecost next week, don't think it's a light thing because this world is starved for the things of God. Now, what did God promise us? Well, it was documented. Remember, the children of Israel were what? The guinea pig. They were the ones that God chose, not because they're better. He was working with their family, and so he decided he's going to work with them. But it is for all of mankind. There are times when he may choose you to do something. He not choose the Jews. He choose you. There are times he choose the Jews. Other people can't get that. Folks are turning up their nose at the Jews. They don't understand. In Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, I want us to see something here. Starting off really, the whole chapter, reading, you know, get an opportunity. But I want you to notice something. Please don't miss this. There are too many legalists in the church today. They don't call themselves legalists. They think they're liberal. No, they're legalists. Because they're robbing themselves of the opportunity to learn, to be humble, and to get the full gist. Verse 2 of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, says, "Thus says the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest." Verse 3, "The Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore With loving kindness have I drawn you. This is God speaking of Israel, and he's talking about all of mankind in the same way. All of mankind. The prophecy was, day without us would be incomplete. So people don't realize that he had planned on bringing the Gentiles later on. Folks think most of the world, the church, is Gentile now. You have to realize what Gentile means. The Lord, verse 4, he said, again, I will build you. God is speaking, talking about Israel. Remember now, Jeremiah was sent to the nations, that's the nation of Judah and Israel, or Israel and Judah. And here it is, he's given them insight, and they remember at that time, when Jeremiah came on the scene, Israel was already into captivity. They were already gone. And yet, here it is now, he's speaking, he says, the Lord appeared, the Lord had appeared to, I will build thee, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in dances of them that make merry. He's saying things are going to go well with them. Now, what was Jeremiah's job? To pull down the nation? And then 31 chapters later, here he's prophesying about these same people are going to be built up. The same thing is going to happen, by the way, to repeat the Jews. Those Jews over in Israel, now they're confused. They're going to go into tribulation. But their descendants is going to get an opportunity. And then these same people are going to come back to life later on. God will deal with them in his own time. That's what the mercies of God is all about. That's what I'm trying to share with you today. Stop trying to think you can judge and decide how God should run his business. He says, you shall yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. Samaria was the capital of Israel. He says, you are going to plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as a common thing. That is going to happen. Verse 6. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry and arise, arise you and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. They're going to say that. Are they saying that now? No. They're still proud and arrogant. They believe in their, what do you call those, drones and fighter jets and tanks and things like that, machine gun. They believe they got it together now. So God is going to have to break them down. Let me tell you something. If God is going to elevate you, he's going to break you down first. You're going to have to come to nothing until you realize that he is God and not you. And then he can elevate you. You haven't been broken down yet? Well, you got a way to go. So listen to what he says in verse 7. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, have thy people the remnant of Israel. Before I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them to blind, the lame, the woman with child, and her that travail with child together, a great company shall return here. They're going to come. He's prophesying that is what is going to happen. What about the people from Africa? Yes, they're going to go back to Africa too. You know, years ago, this gentleman, I didn't realize what he was talking about. And he asks, he says, when the time comes for us to go back where we come from, where are you going to go? And I said to him, I'm not sure what you mean. I think his name was Roy. He was working his farm and I just stopped. I was going by my parents' property. And I stopped to talk with him and he was just asking that question. And he says, in the Bible. Well, years later, I read it and I'm seeing it now right here. Because what I'm saying is that everybody's going to go to their ancestral land. They shall come with weeping. All right, let's back up and read verse 8. Behold, I'll bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind, the lame, the women with child, or that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return here. They shall come with weeping, and with supplication will I lead them. I'll cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Listen to what he's saying. I am a father to them. He's going to be a father, means he's going to teach them the right thing. This is what is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, during this time, only a few people have wisdom and insight to guess what I'm talking up to you about. The vast majority of people don't have a clue. They don't know. There's some folks who even believe people are burning in hell right now. They're wrong. Look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. Who's causing the nations to go into this challenge now? God is allowing America to make some foolish mistakes. I mean, we're making some really foolish mistakes. First of all, we bankrupt the country borrowing money to give it away. I understand what they're doing because I've done the same. I borrow money to give away. I didn't plan it that way, but that's how it turned out. So I understand what America has done. Not putting them down, I'm just saying that is unwise. But my point here, ladies and gentlemen, is God is not through with America, neither is he through with England, neither is he through with Jamaica. We're going to get a whipping, yes, all of us, till we come to our senses. But God is going to come back and deal with the rest of mankind the same way he's dealing with America and Jamaica today. The same way he's dealing with Canada. Is he going to deal with Russia too? Yes. For the Lord redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. They are going to have us in a headlock, so to speak. Who are these people? The beast power. Led by Germany. France is going to be with them. They're going to be against America. And they are going to whip us good. They're going to whip Jamaica good. Same thing for Canada. Yes, Canada think they're going to get away. They are mistaken. They up there locking up people for preaching the gospel and think they're going to get away. No, they're going to get the whipping just the same too. They have abandoned God, just like America. And God is going to send people that are stronger than us. Who are these people? They're going to be led by Germany. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the heights of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of flocks of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden. Listen to what it says in verse 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof. Then shall I bring again their captivity. God is going to allow it to happen again. Yes, in Israel. Yes. Look at verse 31. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He is going to dust them off and clean them up. And said, now listen, you're going to do right. After that whipping that we're going to get, everybody's going to want to do right. Yes, that's what the Bible said. Everybody's going to want to do right. Listen to what it says. I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Verse 32. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them out of the land, I took them out by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and it will be their, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's saying this is going to happen because they're going to have access to the Spirit of God. The reason why the nations are going astray now is because they don't have access to the Spirit of God. Only a select few. If you're one of those, and every one of you with or in the Church of God have had hands laid on you for the impartation of the Spirit, you give God praise. That's why you can see these things and other people can't. And the more you explain to them, the more they look at you like you're confused and think something is wrong with you. Not realize something is wrong with them. They shall teach no man, verse 34, no more man, every man is neighbor, and every man is brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. You see any nation like that today where everybody know God? The little children know God, the grown-ups know God? Oh no. Today, everybody acting like they have lost their mind. But I'm saying to you, God is merciful, and that's why he's going to let all these things play out, so we come to our senses and we're going to learn these things of him. Look at the book of Hosea. We can read the rest of the chapter here in your own time. I want to go to the book of Hosea chapter 2. God is explaining some things because a lot of people have read over these. The preachers don't understand it. They think it's not real, so they just do what they want to do. In chapter 2 verse 14, listen to what he's saying. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, he's speaking of Israel, that's America and England. What do we take the money and do with it? We spread pornography over the world. We encourage people to have abortion here and there. We do all kind of evil stuff with the money. Well, he's going to have to whip us good. And then he's going to clean us up and send us again. And say, go do it this time. And guess what? People are going to be glad to do it. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak unto her, speak comfortable unto her. In other words, he's going to come and teach the people. You know, saw a video the other night with this folks who, he was a prison guard in South Vietnam, in North Korea. He escaped and carried the prisoners that he was guarding, he carried them with him, and he had several guards who decided to break with him, because what was happening is that they were all dying of starvation, both the guards and so on. He had a few guards who actually died from starvation, because even though they were guard, they have nothing to eat. And they, you know, things are really tough. And so they decided to go to run away to South Korea, which they did. And they were explaining, so when he got there, the army officer who was interviewing him, he said, listen, he just told him his full name. He said, you're just an ordinary person here. You're not a comrade sergeant or comrade, captaining up the guard or whatever. But they gave them permanent residence. And he said they were getting food and simple things as much food. But he said what puzzled him was the way the man talked with him. He listened to them. That wasn't how their experience in the North. Before you finished, they had a response. And it wasn't good. Well, this is what he's doing right here. He says, I will talk with her. Verse 14. I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Acre for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Are you telling me this is what's going to happen to America again? Yes. Is this what is going to happen to Israel? Yes. What about the people in Africa? Yes. The people in South America? Yes. Same thing. Remember, Israel is just an example. And God is going to rescue all of us because people have had wrong ideas or wrong understanding. It shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you shall call me Ishi, means husband, that's a Hebrew word for husband, and shall call me no more Baali. In other words, the devil. For I will take away the name of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. In other words, they won't be remembered by what they used to do, the wrong things. They're going to be treated with respect and love, and so they're going to learn now to behave and act wise and do right with each other. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. That's what God is training you and I to be a part of right now. And a lot of people are not getting it. He continues. He says, in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I'll break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. In other words, we won't have to worry about people, gunmen or whatever, coming and do us any harm. I will betroth you unto me forever, he says. I'll betroth you unto me in righteousness, that's verse 19, and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. And he goes on to explain how he is going to shower us with the blessings of God and the love of God, and people are going to blossom and come to fruition. And he says, as a result, we're going to end up being purely righteous. You know, there's a psalm that says, let righteousness rain down like a mighty stream. That's what's going to happen all over the place. It's going to rain down like a mighty stream. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. We have more about this, ladies and gentlemen, because it's time we learn this. Too many people are taking sides politically, not realizing that what they're taking side with is the devil's viewpoint. Do we need human governments? Yes, otherwise you'd have chaos. But for the most part, they don't know which way to go. I gave the example the other night. That fellow over in the Seychelles, that's it, over there in Fiji. Where they invited folks to come over there and hold, a crusade. And the prime minister that just won by a landslide, he was there telling everybody that from now on, this is God's country. And they can come back and hold more revivals there as often as they want. The same people who voted him in office, within a few days, they had a nationwide revolt and they drive him out of office. That same man. What did he say? He wanted to follow Jesus and he wanted the nation to follow Jesus. They drove him out of office within less than a week. This happened about 20 years ago. 20, 25 years ago. But it's going to be different when Jesus comes back. Because in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, he says, the people that walk in darkness have seen great light. You see, that's what is happening. We're in darkness now. And most of the people are still going to be in darkness when Jesus comes back. And so we are who are being trained now are going to be changed. We're going to become spirit beings and God is going to use us now to help shed light on them. They have seen great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them had a light shine. The whole world is in the shadow of death right now. Thou hast multiplied nations. You multiply the nations and not increase. And increase the joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian. For every battle, verse 5, of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born. See, this is what's going to happen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. You see, the government now is upon Satan. He's the god of this world. Most people don't know it. But the government is going to be upon his shoulder, Jesus. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. There's not going to be any end to what Jesus is going to do to make life better for everybody. There's going to be peace all over the place. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. All right. There shall be, he shall be upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is going to make sure that this thing happens, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to happen. And what I am saying to you is that God is demonstrating mercy. Now, why am I reading all these things to you? Because there are a lot of people, you know, there are some folks, it's difficult to deal with them, but it's still our responsibility to show them love. We have a situation now where a lot of people help bankrupt America. I know they blame the president. Is he the president? Therefore, yes, he's out of the responsibility. But he didn't take all this stuff. A lot of people took stuff that they shouldn't have taken. They didn't know what they were doing was wrong. Could we do something about it now? Yes, of course we could. Are they going to do it? No, they won't. They don't think it's their responsibility. They don't believe they're their brother's keeper. And there are a lot of people who are putting down America, putting down England, putting down Canada, putting down Australia. And I understand why they're doing that, because they're living like the devil. But they're putting them down, but they still take from these people. I saw yesterday, I was looking at some news where they're talking about protests going on in France because the fees for foreign students has been increased dramatically. When you go to school, you go to college, university, people must believe these colleges and so on exist by themselves. No, government put a lot of money to help keep them in operation. Now, if you just come and get a subsidized education, then the government is helping to pay for you. That's why they charge this extra fee for foreigners. It's called, you know, out-of-state tuition. And this is the fee that they're complaining about in France now. But why is it they have to go to France to learn? Why couldn't they learn at home? Because, let me tell you something. God has he has a system in place. And the leaders, the one that he's working with, he give them the tools and the information. It is for them now to distribute. Now, a lot of people don't understand this, but that's how it works. And so here it is now. God is providing stuff to France and England and America. Had we, our forefathers, if you're not from these countries, paid attention, God would have used us the same way. There are universities in Africa, you know, where it's difficult for some people to get there. It's not that they couldn't arrange it. They could arrange a similar system like you have here. They choose not to. It is not in their nature to operate like that. Why do they operate like this in America or in the Israelitist nations? They do so because of the Judeo-Christian concept. Why did Russia always want to train so many people. They want people to come and carry their good news about them abroad. That's why they constantly train folks and offering them scholarships. That's why I got a scholarship to go to Russia, Lumumba People's Friendship University, back in 1975. I didn't take them upon it, but that's what they were offering. That was part of it. Their plan was to indoctrinate me. I recognize that was the case. That's why I didn't go. What about the folks in, you know, in Taiwan? And you see, that the point is that, ladies and gentlemen, everybody is trying to do their own thing. Everybody. But my point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that God is arranging stuff in such a way that he is going to end up being the one being, or let me say, rephrase it. He's going to get the glory because without him, it won't be done. It's not going to be done right. And so we are going to be able to distribute among the people. And that's exactly what is going to happen. He's going to be able to show. And what do I call it? It's mercy. How many different types? There's no end to the different type of mercy that he's displaying. I want us to begin to get a clearer picture of what is going on. Look at the book of Psalm number 15. Because a lot of, remember I said earlier, part of the job of the Christian is to love their enemies. Look at Psalm 15. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? It's a rhetorical question. He's asking, who is going to be in that group? And he answers it in verse 2. He that walks uprightly and walks work righteousness and speak the truth in his heart. That's the person that's going to be in the kingdom. That's the person God wants on his team. He that does not backbite, in other words, talk behind your neighbor's back. He backbite not with his tongue, nor do evil to his neighbor. Now take up a reproach against his neighbor. No, because you're going to love your enemies, let alone your neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. In other words, somebody out there is vile. No, you don't want to associate with them. A vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that swear to his own hurt and change not. In other words, you make a promise. And things that do not work out, you keep your promise anyway. It might cost you, but you still do it. That's the person that's going to be in the kingdom. That's what he's trying to convey to us. He that put not out his money to usury, in other words, he's not trying to charge exorbitant, what do you call it, interest. Is it wrong to charge interest? No, he says you can charge it to a foreigner. Because you have commonwealth among the people. But the point here is this. You're not going to try to take from other folks. That's the person that's going to be in the kingdom. That's the person that is learning to develop the mind of Christ. Person who acts like that, he says, shall never be moved. Continue. So how do we explain this again, ladies and gentlemen, about the mercies of God? Let's look at Daniel chapter 12. Book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. God is giving us, you know, insight of how things are going to be, because I'm telling you, when Jesus comes back, he's going to set up the kingdom of God on earth. And all nations are going to flow unto it. Look at what it says in verse 3 of Daniel chapter 12. They that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's what's going to happen. We're going to shine. We're going to shine like the stars. That's what God is saying about us. See, the problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that mankind has not learned the lesson yet. What lesson is that? Without God, we can do nothing. Without the Spirit of God directing us, nothing is going to get accomplished. Things are not going to work out right. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, and verse 29, God is lamenting about Israel. Now listen to me, folks, listen. Israel did not get it right. Why? Because for the most part, Israel did not have the Spirit of God. The world is not getting it right because the world doesn't have access to the Spirit of God. God is going to open up doors in the future where everybody will be getting a chance. That's not the case now. So stop. Don't waste time trying to say if they will do right. They're not going to, because it is not part of God's plan. He says he is going to come and distribute it right. So verse 29 of Deuteronomy chapter 5 says, "Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments." This is God talking about Israel. I wish they had a heart. He knows it. He wants us to learn the lesson. You see, listen, folks. Satan had access to everything. And what did he do? He tried to overthrow God. He had learned to behave himself. And so the end result, ladies and gentlemen, is that God is now going through this phase where he's training us, mankind, so we learn to behave ourselves. And therefore, we're going to have access to his Spirit. And the end result, ladies and gentlemen, is that when we learn now through this two-stage process, we're going to get it right. That's why God is allowing this to happen, like it is. That's why he's allowing it to happen. And so everybody, remember we read earlier, they shall all know the Lord. That is what is going to happen. So in the meanwhile, it is up to you now to get hold of this, what I'm sharing, because it is your turn now. You're among what the Bible called the first fruits. We'll talk more about that next week. But that's what it is. The mankind has not learned the lesson yet that only God's ways work. There are people now who still believe that. You know, there are a lot of folks who are so uptight about Mr. Trump. He did this, he did that. Mr. Trump is just another man. Yes, he's the leader of the country. But he doesn't have access to any more of the Spirit than the average Joe out there because he's not one of them. I know he thinks he's a Christian. God bless me, we can think that, that's up to him. But the bottom line is that it doesn't work like that. To everybody who is going to be in the kingdom have to be led by his Spirit and you're going to have to follow him. That's it. No shortcuts. When his eyes get open, he's going to come to his senses also, just like everybody else. Just leave him alone. Stop trying to put him down because all the other leaders are in the same boat. I want to go to the book of Revelation to help cement this and point this out because I know this is a tough subject for people to grasp because the average person just wants, you know, they have people just really want to just come with fire and brimstone and just, you know, execute judgment. But God is not like that because he knows that we are flesh. And so the point was that he organized this before. And remember the Bible says, many prophets and righteous men desired to know how these things were going to work out, and it was not given to them. But Jesus said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your mind, because you comprehend." God has blessed us until the latter part of the, you know, should say, after he went to the cross, the Spirit of God was not available to the average Joe, only a select few. What is going to happen to everybody else? They're all going to come back to life and God, that's what's going to happen. Revelation the 10th chapter, I want us to point something out. But you who have been given an opportunity now, we need to wake up. He said unto me, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." This is God speaking. It's the last chapter of the book of Revelation, the last chapter in the Bible. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is righteous, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Let him be filthy still. He that is filthy," let me back up that, say it right. He that is unjust, verse 11, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, he's at the point now, in the future, we're not there yet, where he's going to say, okay, nobody else going to be in the kingdom for the time being. I'm going to come, I set it up now, and I should say nobody else going to be in the church. I want to make sure I say that correctly. He's going to say, that's it. The Bible says this heaven's going to open up like a scroll, and everybody is going to see the Lord as he descends, and of course the saints are going to rise up to meet him. My point though is this, that is the end of the church age, and that is going to be the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth. The Bible says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. So he's going to come back and take over. But until then, we still have opportunity now for people to grow and to develop and to act like, I should say, develop the mind of Christ. And that's what God is calling you and I to do, ladies and gentlemen. He's teaching us how to be merciful. Now, I know this is hard because I remember pointing this thing out to some people some years ago, and boy, did they get mad. You're trying to tell me the murderer and the person who killed a dozen people and so on is going to get an opportunity? Yes, they're all going to be given an opportunity. They're all going to be given an opportunity. Now, I know this is hard for people to grasp. That's why I'm telling you, you have to pray this thing through. You need the power of God to cement it. But I'll tell you, if you look around, you begin to see that it can't work any other way. And I'm going to tell you something else. The Bible said when those people come back to life and find out the foolishness and the craziness and the evil that they're going to, it says they're going to hate themselves. They're going to be like in a daze for years. They can't believe, because you see, everybody want a perfect record, And when they realize now that their record has been so tainted, they're going to go all out to try to do right. That's what's going to happen. The Apostle Paul used to go on killing people in the church until his eyes get open. And the Bible says he worked harder than everybody else after that. Oh yes, he ended up dying for his faith. Yes, he lost his life because of it. Before that, he was blind. But when his eyes get open, he started to do right. He experienced the mercies of God. That's what you and I have in a privilege of experiencing today. May God help us to walk inside that mercy. That mercy extended to us, ladies and gentlemen. Even to his enemies he extended. How much more the children of God. He has extended his mercy to us. That's why we have healing. That's why we have all the other blessings. And that's why we can still have confidence. Let me tell you something. The times are coming. A lot of these gunmen you see running around and people shoot, they are going to be crying and running and trying to seek for the rock to, I should say, fall on them. Because they're going to be so scared with what's coming down the road. At the same time, you and I are going to be singing praises to God. We won't be scared one bit. Listen, when we had 9/11, I had some kids that were, my sons that were in grade 3 at the time, or grade 4, I don't remember exactly which one. And they're telling me how many children were crying in school. And I said, what did you do? They said, oh, we just sit there and do our work, because we understood what was happening. Kids were crying down the place. They didn't know. I remember I was at work. So many people run to my office, want to find out what is going on, and everybody was willing to pray. Well, those days are coming again, ladies and gentlemen, because God is merciful. Just want to remind you of that. He's merciful, and we are going to display and demonstrate that type of mercy. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next lesson.